Listen, you guys have been working in the Word, and I understand that you've been talking about eternal perspective. Isn't that right? And listen, I didn't go back and watch no videos or anything like that, so whatever pastor and whatever the elder preached the other times, if I say the same things, then just call it out to God, okay? Amen. So, but we want to continue on with this theme. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have a time to be alive where we can feel you and where we can hear you and where we can see you moving in our lives. So, Father God, I call every mind into captivity to the Spirit of Christ, that we can hear this word, Father God, and allow it to take root within us. So give us eyes that we can see you clearly, Lord. Give us ears, God, that we can hear you clearly, Lord. And then prick our heart so that we're diligent and willing to obey. And we give you praise and glory for these things in Jesus' name. Amen? So y'all just be patient with me and just let me kind of work through the word. Can we do that? Amen. All right. So turn to John, the 15th chapter. And we'll move through this a little bit. Actually, can I start at the 13th verse, please? And it occurred to me at this very moment that I do not have a Bible up here with me. Thank you. And listen, you know what's so funny about this, y'all? I'm the old school guy, right? So I hate reading. I hate using the digital apps for the phones. I want to carry my big preacher Bible around everywhere. And then here in this moment, we're going to make it work with this today. Is that all right? So let me look at this 13th verse here. Jesus talking and says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for what? His friend. And ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And I'm reading in the King James Version this morning. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Then Jesus says, talking to his disciples, his inner circle, right? He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth what? Fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. That was John, the 15th chapter, and that was 13 through 17. Jesus instructing his disciples here. And even though this, we may not be part of the 12, are you a follower of Christ? Huh? And so this word applies to us, does it not? So if I had to have a something to the eternal perspective theme that we had here, I would say, living the legacy, leaving the legacy. Living the legacy, leaving the legacy. Now, what I like about this scripture here is that Jesus gives us quite a bit of insight into what matters to him. And so how are you going to be a disciple, a student, a follower of someone unless you aren't carrying out some of those attributes? Didn't you just hear me cut off this young lady who was singing? I wasn't even certain. I knew Alma was the youngest of the Collins clan, but I couldn't say that. You know, we have a significant age difference. But there were certain characteristics of her that made it clear that she was a Collins. My daughter sent me a text message just the other day. It was like, yo, Dad, do you know, we live on the Illinois side of the St. Louis area, and actually in Caseyville. And so my daughter was like, Dad, do you know such and such family? I'm like, I'm grown. Don't be asking me who I know. Because the person saw them and said, young lady, I don't know who you are, but you're clearly some type of Caldwell. She looks like a Caldwell. And unfortunately, sometimes she acts like a Caldwell, like her daddy, my Lord, help her. And so because we are disciples of this Christ Jesus, there we must share his attributes. Where's the drummer at? Where's our brother drummer at who was drumming today? Did he step out? He did a good job. But in me listening to that drummer today, it was clear to me. I heard things that he did that reminded me 100% of Jerry Joseph Dion. How could it not when that's who he's been listening and playing under at his time here? So we should be having some of these attributes of Christ. So he's saying, man, you got to be connected to me so that you can bear fruit. And when you talk about a legacy, what a legacy really is and what the shared definition we'll use for our time here today, it's about a gift and impact that you leave once you've moved on. It's a gift that you leave, an impact that you leave once you move on. For some of us, that's move on completely, right? And so we have to be thinking about how we are moving in this, but there's one that's actually been set for us already, right? So I love in the 11th chapter of Hebrews where the writer is talking about faith, right? And he goes on to talk about that you must have it or else you can't even please God. And so in order for us to, we must first, as scripture talks about, understand and acknowledge that God is. Now that sounds simple, right? That we must first acknowledge that God is, but do you know there's people who are operating in pulpits and in churches across this country and they don't even believe in this God they're teaching and preaching. So let's establish that. And we have more of this universalism and one world order that's creeping in. No, honey, I'm real clear about who my creator is and who my savior is. Jesus is his name. So we have to be clear in that. I'm talking about living the legacy, right? And then leaving the legacy. So you can't do this in your own strength and in who you are, but this has to be connected to God's way, amen? So then we establish that God is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek them. So what kind of society in the world system teaches us to do? Is to do what it takes to get ahead. So then we put stock in the type of car that we drive, right? The type of home that we live in. Our credentials, right? What type of education that we have is get ahead, get more. Even sometimes we get elitist about what church we attend. What ministry department that we're in. There can't be competition in the body of Christ. So we do all this seeking and all this pressing, but what are you really pressing for? At the end of these days, these things are only temporal, not eternal. They're non-legacy. At the end of the day, they won't even matter. So one of the things I want to ask you this morning, as we're thinking about eternal perspective is, what's going to be your contribution? If you move on from this ministry, what can be said is better, is stronger because you were here? Man, good thing that none of y'all invite me here today, man, because y'all looking at me like, man, this rascal never coming back. That neighbor you've lived next to for 20 years, how have you impacted them? Where have you shown the love of Jesus Christ when they see you get dressed every Sunday morning and hit up? Y'all quiet. Let me move on. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. But this is how we are operating. This is what should allow you to be recognized. And when they don't know anything about you, they'll know You must be a Christ follower. I don't know your name, but I can tell. Just like I knew she was a Collins, and that woman knew my daughter was a Caldwell. You know, the bad part about it, I was born in Alton and lived there right before I turned five. But both of my parents are from Alton, right? And so there's the Caldwells, and then there's the Lockharts and Hickmans, right? And so when I got about 18 or 19, right before I moved here, I thought I'd go to that area, and I thought I was going to go there and do whatever it is I wanted to do, right? But it so happened that before I got to get in what I really wanted to get in, people I'd never seen before in my life, and they said, I'm not sure who you are, but I know you a Caldwell. You related to Dilbert in them some type of way. Man, let me go to the other side of town and try to do what I'm going to try to do, right? And I don't know exactly who you are, but, man, you related to Sammy and Billy and them. You a Lockhart for sure. I can see it all in you. I said, man, I can't escape this. And that's how it should be with the characteristics that you're distributing, because they're not even your own. They belong to your Father. I'm talking about this eternal perspective, right? So let's go a little backwards here, please, Mr. or Mrs. Media person who's back there. And let's look at John, that 15th same chapter, but let's go to the 5th verse. Can we do that? And listen, I'm usually the kind of a 3-point, a 5-point type of sermon delivery. Y'all forgive me if we don't do that today. Can I just talk through what I'm talking through? And so this is what Jesus says. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much what? Then he says, so without me, you can do. Man, he's speaking real plain, right? He didn't ask you about your degree. He didn't ask you about how many years you've been saved and serving God. You got to do that. You got God. You got to get it all up in there. But if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. So many times we've taken this out of context. We say we can name it, we can claim it, we can add. And then we get mad at God when we ask what we ask and it doesn't happen. Because you've asked amiss. In this context, he's talking about asking according to his will. So you're not even asking stuff just for your own self. You're asking about so his will can be fulfilled. If you want to become effective at prayer, if you want to see God answer you every time, do you know what you should be doing? Huh? Talk to me. Praying his will and praying specifically what? When I told you that sometimes my children act like a Caldwell, when it comes out and it bites me the most is when they use the same techniques and principles I've used on them. And they use it to their advantage. Why? Because they know I'm going to have to honor whatever it was. So if you want to see your prayer life be effective, pray his own word. And then you can say, God, you said. God, you promised. You know, we were going through a particular thing a few years back, and man, it was tough, man. It was tough, man. It's like we was catching it from all over, you understand? And I ain't ashamed to admit it. Man, be curled up and balled up crying, man, just crying. Y'all, I'm kind of too big to be crying. I said earlier at the Reynolds campus, man, beautiful time this morning at the Reynolds campus. Such beautiful people. Thank God for Pastor James and everyone over there. D said, I said, man, I was crying so much, I felt like I was getting dehydrated, man. Crying is overrated. And even the thing that I thought I could depend on the most was unavailable to me. Yes, sir. But you know what I realized? I used to say to Latasha, I said, babe, it has to work out. God's going to have to come through because he always has. And I say, if God were to lie this time, then all these other times didn't really mean much. But God never does, and we can trust him because his actions always aligns with his word. That's what trust really is. When words align with action. talking about moving from the temporal to the eternal. The temporal is real short-sighted. That's where all that selfishness comes in. And I don't really care what happens in your lot, what happens in your life, as long as I get mine. I must be in the wrong church. Can I have verse 8, please? If ye abide in me, I'm sorry, yes, this is 7. And my words abide in you. Okay, then 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So let me read this around, because, you know, I may not be the sharpest tool in the shed, right? I can count, but my reading might be suspect, right? But this is how I understand this. Proof of your discipleship is you're a fruit bearer. The evidence of you being a Christ follower is the fact that you are a fruit bearer. And you'll say, I'm saved by grace, but yes, you are. I'm baptized, and sister, such a beautiful, man, that's one of the most beautiful expressions that you can do. Congratulations to you, ma'am. I've been baptized, and I'm running, man, my feet are on fire for the Lord. I'm glad about it. Where's the fruit? And you say, but brother, we're saved, we're under grace, we don't have to have any works, don't produce salvation. You're absolutely right. The work of the cross did that, but because you are saved, because you have faith, because you're in the faith, amen, your works are going to support that. That's what I'm talking Bible, y'all. Yes, sir. So one of the issues is we as believers don't want accountability. Oh, God, I've said all these wrong words you ain't supposed to say in church. All the stuff church folk don't want to hear. Accountability, there, I said it again. Because I'm responsible to someone bigger and tougher than you, you understand? And it's about his will being done. So look, you're connected to the vine. Nutrients are coming your way because of that connection. Resources are coming that way because of that connection. Protection is coming your way because of that connection. Strength is coming your way because of that connection. And when you connect, man, listen, you guys live in the state of Illinois. Some of y'all are state employees. You know that a lot happens because of who you know. If you've been in the streets, you know you can make a lot of things move based upon who you know, who you connected with. The same thing applies to spiritual principles. Jesus says, when you're connected in me and you're grounded in my will, you can ask all these things, and I'll send the angels from heaven themselves to provide you strength. And so you need to be aware and diligent about how you're moving beyond this temporal of what our society has asked for us, and you're thinking about what are you leaving in the earth? What are you leaving in the earth? Because Jesus left us Holy Spirit here to be able to accomplish the will of God. He's done his work here in the earth. He's sitting, amen, on the right hand of the Father, Scripture says. But he's left us with tools and resources to carry on the work. Amen. That's what we're talking about, an eternal perspective. Is you're thinking about how you want to save the world, start with those who are in your circles. Right. Impact those who are in your circles. If you impact those who are in your circles and you serve in your circles, then we got this thing. Yeah. And what I love about it is, it's the team, it's the body, right? Not one person getting credit. I had a beautiful time sharing with the media and arts team yesterday, and one of the things I was sharing with them is, God don't mind you having things. He wants you to. He's the source of our blessings. But one thing God is not going to do is compete with you for his own glory. So if you'll keep abiding in his will, and he's going to make sure you have the resources to do it. He don't mind setting you an example, setting you up as an example, amen, to demonstrate what favor looks like. And if you don't know what favor looks like, anybody else have that testimony? Tell your neighbor, this is what favor looks like. Come on, tell your neighbor. Now, don't y'all say it unless it's true. But man, I could stand here for a week straight and tell you all the little things that have happened, amen, in my life, for me, through me, and in me. They had nothing to do with me, but all because of God and his favor on my life. Take the little money. Take the little degree. Take the little claim. But leave me favor, man, and I know that God's hand is going to be upon me and we'll be able to accomplish the task that he's given us to do. Do you know in most aspects of my life, man, I've never been good enough. I've never fit in, man. Even in some of my family circles, I've never fit in. I've never fully qualified. Two words. Yet God. But you got to connect with him. You got to be in. And then when he does it, that ain't no time for your chest to puff up and rise up in pride. That's the time to testify and said, God did this. And I'm going to tell you, there's some people who have come back to me now 15, 18, 20 years later about a seed that was planted that I had no idea about. But what I knew, this is what God put me on the earth to do. And whatever platform he gave me, I wasn't going to fool around and crush it because of my own ego and pride. Talking about an eternal perspective. Living the legacy. Leaving the legacy. So scripture in Hebrews goes on to talk about, again, how you must have faith to please God, and then they go down the role of faith heroes, right? And talks about what Noah did because of faith. And what how Abraham believed God and was accredited to him as righteousness, right? And talks about, amen, we might call the fathers of the faith, right? Jacob and Isaac and what they did in believing God. Where does your name fit in that? Where does your name fit in that? It may not ever appear in the text, but where can you say, man, I'm walking in this faith to please God. I'm walking in this faith, and no, Lord, I don't really want to be a part of that ministry. No, Lord, I don't really want to go work with those in recovery, but yes, Lord, because I know you're calling me to it. If you're seeking the glamour of ministry, you're seeking the wrong thing, my friend. But when you're appointed and you're ordained to that space and you give God a yes, people used to ask me, and as I was sharing with them yesterday, I mean, I've had every position you can name in a local church, right? So from being the trash ticker outer to being the lead pastor, right? And people would ask me when we started lead pastoring, man, Doc, how is it transitioning? How is it moving to, how is it pastoring? Well, it's pretty all right when I do what he told me to do. The frustrations and the disappointments and the challenges come when you try to walk in your own strength. When you try to follow what somebody else did. Not understand we need mentoring and we need modeling, but at the end of the day, you're responsible for what God has told you. Because you're seeing the bigger picture. And that's what the eternal perspective is about. It's about seeing the bigger picture. What gift are you leaving in the earth? What are you doing that's impactful? Are you getting anything? Let me get out of here. So if you would, the media person, thank you so much, but will you take me to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and then I'll get out your way. But I need you to understand that you are created with purpose. Yes. And it's bigger than you. You know, Hebrews 12th chapter. I can't tell all the stories, right? Hebrews the 12th chapter. Yeah, thank you, please. You got it? I hope there's no love notes to your wife, man. And this, but if it's going to be one, that's probably where it should be to, though. So we'll take that. You got Hebrews 12 chapter? Listen, it says, wherefore seeing also we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. They're talking about all those heroes of the faith that I mentioned in the 11th chapter, right? It says, let us lay aside, and this is my instruction to you this morning. Let us lay aside every what? Weight. Every weight. And let us lay aside every what? Sin, which doeth so easily beset us. So some of us have unresolved sin in our life, right? It can be blocking your pathway to living legacy. Don't be bound about that. Because what Jesus has done, it covers that. Release it to him. Tell somebody, let it go. But it also says, wait. So the weights may not necessarily be sin, but it's something that's blocking you, hindering you from living legacy. Let me show you what weight can look like. When I get involved in an organization or a program or whatever, because I have the experience and the skill to do so, but God didn't assign me to that space. So now I'm feeling tired. Now Dion coming home and complaining to Shalita, man, they rascals get on my nerve and whatever, because you ain't supposed to be there. You wonder why you're getting a headaches at night and now you're just overeating. Because you've allowed this extra stressors to come on your life because you're operating in space that's temporal. God's calling us to eternal. And there's some things, by golly, I always wanted to say that in church, by golly. Some people you need to disconnect from. Like a weed, they're getting and interfering with that connection you're supposed to be having with the true vine. Can I tell you something? Again, I count pretty good. My reading this might be a little suspect. But if Jesus calls himself the true vine, what does that tell you? There can be some false ones out there. So I never had to go to the streets, y'all, because I've seen about anything you can imagine in the church. Y'all laughing, but I wish I was kidding. And put every denomination on the list. Put every ethnicity on the list. Every region of the country, even some parts of the world. And it's just amazing the games we play that are straight from the world. And God has no part. He's nowhere to be found in so-called houses that have his name on it. Do you realize I've literally had to apologize and repent to my wife and children? So I'm a musician, so I used to play out quite a bit. Because I've placed them in some terrible environments. This wasn't a dope house. This wasn't a club. This was a sanctuary. And when you're in a sanctuary and you literally have to keep yourself from throwing up, that can't be named among us. That can't be, that's temporal. Judgment will come because of that. So what I'm saying is people are dying all around us. Do you really know what tomorrow holds for you? So we don't have time to dibble and dabble in stuff that's not important. We don't have time to dibble and dabble in that which is unproductive. Eternal perspective is what God is calling for. So don't allow the weights. That was a weight for me, y'all. And you say, oh, it was a church, man. You're a musician. You were trying to help things. You were trying to help that choir. You were trying to help that praise team. Man, some of the places I've, listen. So isn't it sad that you got to be afraid to go to a church? So don't get caught up with the weights, y'all. Somebody say weight. Wait. Talked about sin, and talked about weight. I'm almost out of here, okay? And this is what I'm going to leave you with. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with patience the race that is set before you. Now, I've only been on one team, y'all, and that was a basketball team. I mean, I wasn't even good enough to play Little League baseball, right? So some of you track stars in here, you'll know about the whole racing thing, but I ran enough sprints. But I was sharing even with the Reynolds campus that we have a grandson, right? And so he's the greatest thing in the world. Now listen, some of y'all grandmothers in there, y'all say, I don't know. Here, let me, because you ain't seen my baby. Well, you ain't got the mic. I'm talking about mine. And so he comes at least once a month. And one time he was over, and our house is open, so he can run freely in there. And he's enamored with both Spider-Man and Sonic. And so when he would come, and this boy, he's talking a little better now, but before his vocabulary was developed, anything you asked him, hey, little Barry, how you doing? And Sonic and Spider-Man. Ain't nobody asked about no Spider-Man, man. Every conversation ended with Sonic or Spider-Man. So one day I come home from work, he's ready for me, y'all. He's been waiting for me, right? So I come home from work, and he's there, and he says, Pop, let's race. Now, I don't play no games with kids, y'all. Dion's still mad at me 30 years later about something that happened for a game that we played, you understand? So I don't play with kids. So I line up, man. I line up and I get ready. And so I said, grandson, I said, you don't know, Pop fast. And I promise you, this little dude said, I fast too, Pop. So I counted them off. Mark, he said, go. And I took off, right? And I took off running and got to the end of the house. Touched the wall, I said, yeah, took you down. I'm celebrating and jumping, and all I'm doing with my win, you know, trying to call Latasha and everybody else to watch the win. You know what this dude is doing? Running the other way. I clearly didn't ask the rules of the game. He was like, yo, dude, this is a down and a back race, you understand? That's the difference between the temporal and the eternal mindset and perspective. Some of us are just looking for the short win instead of running the entirety of the race. That's what God is asking you to do. He's asking you to stay in the race and see it through. Don't become weary in your well-doing. Don't even feel judged by the word that you heard today. Because the great thing about it is if you were here to hear it, you got time to get it right. But let me tell you, there's blessing in the obedience. There's blessing in your yes, right? So one of the things I was sharing with the music team was, yeah, I've heard it said in various capacities that the best ability is availability. Okay, I don't quite agree with that. I love you being available, but God also wants you skilled and competent. So really, compatibility is one of the best abilities, because then you're the right person at the right time for that space. So it includes availability. It includes dependability, right? What did you say the other day? The word, like, this girl said listenability. I said, Webster's. Oh, okay, I ain't fighting today. Listenability. But it's hard to be big when little got you. So you must learn to be a listener. I don't care what the source is. So much we've learned from our children. And now our little grandchild. I'm like, boy, you can't even read. Man, how you gonna try to tell me something? But it's the things that God will show you so that you can leave an impact. And yes, I'm conscious about the impact that I'm leaving within my household. The impact I'm having within my neighborhood. The impact I'm having within my community. In the spaces that I work in, the impact that I'm leaving. You know, someone told me about something that was said about me by someone else. Y'all, I'm too old and too grown to be defending myself on silly stuff. I don't even get in it. But what I love about it was someone else said, it's clear You've never spent any time with this guy. Have you ever had a conversation with him? Because he knew enough about my character to be able to speak up. And this wasn't the president of the company, y'all. It was a maintenance person. You never know where the eyes are that are watching you. So be consistent, hear me, in your standard of excellency. Man, I thought you was going to start playing like 5 minutes ago, man. You came up here and you ain't. I saw him walk, man. I was trying to wind it down. Man, I'm waiting for the music, man, so I can start acting like your pastor, father. Come if you would, Jita. But how precious is our God that he'll give us an instruction and then give us all the support to be able to carry out that same instruction. Y'all hear me? He's given you an instruction, then he just didn't leave you. One thing I love about God is, Sherry, he's gonna do his part every time. He's just asking you to do yours. And I've said it before, God is only requiring of you that which he is requiring of you. He's only requiring you of you that which is he requiring of you. So what I'm saying is, it's individual and it's specific. He's not asking you to do the same thing that he's asking me to do. And if you think it is the same, the way it's carried out is differently. But it's still going to be effective because it's the same Spirit of God who's empowering it all so that he can get glory out of it all. Lord, we thank you because you're such a mighty and a wonderful God that you would care enough to give us this word. Now, Lord, forgive us for those of us, oh God, who have we've fallen short, God, whether it's the commission of sin, whether it's the omission of following through. Lord, whether it's allowing too much weight to stack upon us. Holy Spirit, we thank you even now that you're revealing to us those things that we just need to let go. Those areas, God, those persons with whom we just need to disconnect. Help us, God, to see beyond the short-sightedness of the temporal, and that we learn to not only live out the legacy that's already been established, God, because of faith walkers, but Lord, that we begin leaving deposits of gifts and seeds and impact within the world for your own glory, God, and for your own honor. And for these things, we give you thanks. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Would you give him a hand of praise? And as I yield back the floor to, amen, the appropriate elder, maybe you're in the house today and you say, man, bruh, I want this Jesus you're talking about. I want this Jesus you've been up there yelling and smiling about. The process is the same for us all. Acknowledging that he is and acknowledging our need for him. And I don't care what happens on the news, whether they're teaching you in school, there is only one way. And it's through Christ. And you're confessing your sins and you're asking him to be Lord of your life. You're accepting him in. That's what he's asking for. You can't get yourself together enough. He wants you as you are. Isn't that pretty amazing? You know, my mother bore 4 children, of which I was the only boy. I was the last and the only boy. And so I have 4 other brothers that I grew up with, and that's why I count Dion and Corbin and Alice as brothers, because I don't have a blood brother. So he's just as much of a brother as any brother that I have. Now, I've never been jealous of my other brothers, but my mom and dad didn't really have a choice concerning me, but they were intentional about all my other brothers that were adopted into the family. Y'all hearing me? And it's the same thing in Christ. He's intentional that he wants you with all the seeming flaws, all your nasty attitude, all your proclivities, he's still saying, I have enough. My work is enough just for you.